6 hours, you are to report that fact to headquarters. Send one man back across the river to the Manchukuo Army Observation Post." He mounted his horse and rode off with the Mongol, heading west. The three of us finished setting up camp and ate a simple dinner. We couldn't cook or build a campfire. On that vast steppe, with nothing but low sand dunes as far as the eye could see to shield our presence, the least puff of smoke would have led to our immediate capture. We pitched our tents low in the shelter of the dunes, and for supper we ate dry crackers and cold canned meat. Darkness swiftly covered us when the sun sank beneath the horizon, and the sky was filled with an incredible number of stars. Mixed in with the roar of the Khalkha River, the sound of wolves howling came to us as we lay on the sand, recovering from the day's exertions. Sergeant Hamano said to me, "Looks like a tough spot we've got ourselves in," and I had to agree with him. By then, the three of us, Sergeant Hamano, Corporal Honda, and I, had got to know each other pretty well. Ordinarily, a fresh young officer like me would be kept at arm's length and laughed at by a seasoned non-commissioned officer like Sergeant Hamano, but our case was different. He respected the education I had received in a non-military college, and I took care to acknowledge his combat experience and practical judgment without letting rank get in the way. We also found it easy to talk to each other because he was from Yamaguchi, and I was from an area of Hiroshima close to Yamaguchi. He told me about the war in China. He was every bit a soldier, with only grammar school behind him, but he had his own reservations about this messy war on the continent, which looked as if it would never end, and he expressed these feelings honestly to me. "I don't mind fighting," he said. "I'm a soldier, and I don't mind dying in battle for my country, because that's my job. But this war we're fighting now, Lieutenant, well, it's just not right. It's not a real war, with a battle line where you face the enemy and fight to the end. We advance, and the enemy runs away without fighting. Then the Chinese soldiers take their uniforms off and mix with the civilian population, and we don't even know who the enemy is. So then we kill a lot of innocent people in the name of flushing out renegades or remnant troops, and we commandeer provisions. We have to steal their food because the line moves forward so fast our supplies can't catch up with us, and we have to kill our prisoners because we don't have anywhere to keep them or any food to feed them. It's wrong, Lieutenant. We did some terrible things in Nanking. My own unit did. We threw dozens of people into a well and dropped hand grenades in after them. Some of the things we did I can't bring myself to talk about. I'm telling you, Lieutenant, this is one war that doesn't have any righteous cause. It's just two sides killing each other, and the ones who get stepped on are the poor farmers, the ones without politics or ideology. For them, there's no nationalist party, no young Marshal Zhang, no 8th Route Army. If they can eat, they're happy. I know how these people feel. I'm the son of a poor fisherman myself. The little people slave away from morning to night, and the best they can do is keep themselves alive. Barely. I can't believe that killing these people for no reason at all is going to do Japan one bit of good. In contrast to Sergeant Hamano, Corporal Honda had very little to say about himself. He was a quiet fellow in any case. He'd listen to us talk without interjecting his own comments. But while I say he was quiet, I don't mean to imply there was anything dark or melancholy about him. It's just that he rarely took the initiative in conversation. True, that often made me wonder what was on his mind. But there was nothing unpleasant about him. If anything, there was something in his quiet manner that softened people's hearts. He was utterly serene. He wore the same look on his face no matter what. I gathered he was from Asaikawa, where his father ran a small print shop. He was 2 years younger than I, and when he left school he had joined his brothers working for his father. He was the youngest of three boys, the eldest of whom had been killed in China 2 years earlier. He loved to read, and whenever we had a spare moment, you'd see him curled up somewhere, reading a book.